Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, June 26, 2022, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 4, verse 20, sounded like this. Yet because of the promise of God, he, Abraham, absolutely did not waver or doubt because of unbelief, but he became empowered by means of the body of faith, the word of God in his heart, and he gave glory to God. Now that brings us to verse 21, the last verse of the great parenthesis. And being fully persuaded, this is the conjunction chi plus the aorist passive participle of plero foreo. The conjunction chi is the connective chi, correctly translated and. And then the verb plero foreo. Looks like that in the Greek, P-L, long E-R-O, P-H-O-R-E, long O, plero foreo. All right, Arnton Gingrich, a few points on this. One, Arnton Gingrich, page 676, says that this is actually used here as a synonym for plerao. Point two, it has two concepts. First of all, to fill completely or to fulfill. And secondly, to convince fully, to fully convince, to fill completely, to fulfill. Three, in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be fully convinced, to be absolutely certain. To be fully convinced, to be absolutely certain. Four, it means you have maximum confidence. Maximum confidence. Five, Abraham, as a spiritually mature believer, had total confidence that God would fulfill his promise. Absolute certainty in his soul that God would fulfill his promise, the promise he would be a father of many nations. This is maximum faith rest life, maximum spirituality in the Old Testament time. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing Abraham's faith rest life in its entirety. The passive voice, Abraham received the action of being totally convinced in his heart that God would fulfill the promise that he would be the father of many nations. And the participle is circumstantial, attendant circumstance, having the same force as the main verb en dunamao in verse 20. He became empowered by means of the body of faith, the word of God, and being fully convinced, absolutely certain. And then we have that what He, God, had promised. This is the conjunction hoti plus the accusative neuter singular of the relative pronoun hos plus the perfect middle indicative of the verb epangelomai. Now, hoti oftentimes is a causal conjunction, and some of you probably thought that. No, that is true. It is a causal conjunction many times. But after verbs of decendi, as it is here, it means that. It introduces an object clause and is correctly translated that. And then the neuter singular of the relative pronoun hos. Here the gender is extremely important. Hos, H-O-S, neuter, you translate it what. What. And then the verb epangelomai. Looks like that in the Greek, that's E-P-A. When you got two gammas together, the first one transliterate as an N, and then a G-E-L-L-O-M-A-I. Epangelomai. All right, a couple things on this verb, epangelomai. First of all, literally it means to announce, to proclaim. It literally means to announce or to proclaim. Two, when God is the subject, as in our verse, God is the subject, it means to promise. And we get the noun epangelia, promise, from this verb epangelomai. So to promise. Three, this is God's specific promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. This is God's specific promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. Four, that is, even though Abraham is now in the status of sexual death, he is going to be able to procreate and have children. Even though Abraham is now in the status of sexual death, he is going to be able to procreate and have children. The perfect tense is an intensive perfect. The emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action. The middle voice is the deponent middle, middle in form but active in meaning. God the Father performed the action of making this promise to spiritually mature believer Abraham. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this as absolute certainty and reality. So the corrected translation. And being fully convinced, possessing total confidence, that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. Present active indicative of eimi plus the adjective dunitas plus the conjunction kai with the aorist active infinitive of the verb poieo. We first of all have the to be verb eimi, E-I-M-I. The subject is God. He, you translate this, he is, that is, God is, he, God is. Present tense is, has linear action sort. Graph it like that. Linear action sort. He, God keeps on being. He is, God is, present tense, linear action sort. God keeps on being dunitas. D-U-N-A-T-O-S, dunitas. Now this is related to dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. And so a couple of things. First of all, dunitas means powerful, strong, mighty, able. Powerful, strong, mighty, able. Secondly, dunitas is in the emphatic position. position as an adjective. Now there, for those of you who are not English majors, my wife is an English major, I was an English major. An adjective can be a simple modifier, like blue cow. Blue dog. It just means that the dog is blue. By the way, if you see that, you're in trouble. When it's in the emphatic position, it's a predicate adjective. The cow is blue. The dog is blue. In other words, the whole purpose of this clause is to predicate that God is powerful. God is strong. God is mighty. God is able to do what he promised Abraham that he would do. This is very, very powerful. So the whole purpose of this clause is to predicate that God is powerful. God is strong. God is mighty. God is able to do what he promised Abraham that he would do. Now this time the conjunction chi is not connective. K-A-I. This time it is adjunctive. And the adjunctive chi is translated also. And then the verb poieo. That's P-O-I-E long O. Poieo. Poieo is a verb that means to do, to perform, to accomplish. The aorist tense is a nomic aorist, introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. Here's the axiom. What God promises in His Word, He is powerful and able to accomplish. So this is the nomic aorist of poieo, introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. What God promises in His Word, He is powerful and able to accomplish. The active voice, God from His omnipotence is powerful and able to accomplish what He has promised in His Word. The infinitive is epexegetical. That means it completes the idea of the main verb. The main verb is Ami, Esten, Dunitas Esten, He is able. He is able to what? Now the epexegetical infinitive of poieo. He is able to do. He is able to perform. He is able to accomplish. So the corrected translation of verse 21. And being fully convinced, possessing total confidence, that what He, God, had promised, He is also powerful and able to accomplish. Got that? And being fully convinced, possessing total confidence that what He, God, had promised, He is also powerful and able to accomplish. One. This is the thinking of a spiritually mature believer. This is where you all want to be. You don't want to stay babies. You don't want to stay spiritual babies. You want to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You start out as a baby. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, you start out as a spiritual baby, and then you grow up. You grow up to adolescence and then spiritual maturity. This is the thinking of a spiritually mature believer. Abraham is a spiritually mature believer. Two, Abraham knows God, and therefore Abraham loves God. And therefore Abraham has total confidence in God and His Word. Abraham knows God and therefore he loves God and he has total confidence in God and His Word. This is how the spiritually mature believer thinks. This is how he lives his life. This is how he operates. This is why the mature believer has Christmas every day and Thanksgiving every day. Because of this. 3. The Word of God is more real to Abraham than any circumstance or situation of his life. And that will be true of you when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This will characterize your life. And then it's an awesome life. I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't care who's president or not. I don't care who's on the Supreme Court or not. When you reach spiritual maturity, the Word of God is more real to you than any circumstance or situation of this life. And you have Christmas every day and Thanksgiving every day. There's nothing like that. Let me ask you. Would you rather have Christmas every day, Thanksgiving every day, or would you rather be miserable? A miserable lump of poop. If you want to be a miserable lump of poop, please stand up so we can see. This is the plan that God has for you. Philippians 4:4. Keep on sharing the happiness of God. I repeat this. God repeats it. I repeat the command, keep on sharing the happiness of God. It's self-contained happiness. It's self-contained happiness no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in your marriage, your family, no matter what's going on at work, doesn't make any difference. Keep on sharing the happiness of God, no matter what. This is God's plan for you. And when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, it will be reality. It will be reality. The Word of God is more real to Abraham than any circumstance or situation of his life. 4. Maximum metabolized doctrine in Abraham's heart resulted in attaining spiritual maturity. And he is living the faith rest life to the maximum. He knows God's Word. He believes God's Word. And faith rest life was spirituality in the Old Testament time. And he has maximum faith rest life. 5. Spiritual maturity means God is more real to you than the sufferings or the adversities of life. When you reach spiritual maturity, it means that God is more real to you than the sufferings or adversities of life. If on the contrast, if the sufferings and adversities of life are more real to you than God is, that's a wake-up call for you. That's a wake-up call. That's not what God wants for you. He wants to give you the highest and best of blessings in time and forever. So the Word of God is more real to Abraham than any circumstance or situation in life. And 4, maximum metabolized doctrine in Abraham's heart resulted in attaining spiritual maturity. Maximum faith rest life. 5, spiritual maturity means God is more real to you than the suffering and adversities of life. 6, Abraham loved God. He loves God. And he has maximum grace orientation. This is a fantastic greater grace blessing package that God has given to Abraham. And he knows he doesn't earn it or deserve it. He's totally oriented to the grace of God. And that all of this is because of who and what God is, not who and what Abraham is. Abraham loved God, and therefore he has maximum grace orientation. 7, he knew that God was the source of all these magnificent blessings. He knew that God was the source of all of these magnificent blessings. And here you are sitting here. You're at different stages of spiritual growth. Some of you are spiritual babies. Some of you are adolescent believers. Some of you are approaching spiritual maturity, or you are in spiritual maturity. And as you all sit here, you receive from God every single day grace. Every day. It's called logistical grace. It comes down a grace pipeline. Because at the moment you come to the cross and place your faith in Jesus Christ, at that moment of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God. That establishes a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes blessing. From the moment of your salvation, you had God's imputed righteousness in you, His righteousness on one end and you, His justice on the other end. And down that pipeline comes blessing, blessing, blessing. Right from the moment of salvation. The moment you believed in Christ. The moment you believed in Christ, there were 40 salvation blessings that came to you instantly. Instantly at the moment you believed in Christ. You didn't even know what they were. But as you start growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you start learning about the fantastic salvation blessing God gave to you. And down that grace pipeline comes logistical grace. Logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Here we are. Who's the ruler of this world? The devil is the ruler of the world right now. When Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, Satan's going to be thrown in prison for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ will be the ruler of the world for 1,000 years. And then we will live with Him forever and ever in a new heavens and new earth. Why does He keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world? To give you a logistical grace blessing. Every day, He gives you food to eat. David said, I've never seen the righteous go hungry. You don't have to worry about food to eat or clothes to wear. If you're worrying about that, then you need to get the class on worry last Wednesday. It touched home with a lot of people in here, the doctrine of worry. Came back, and you even came back into my office to let me know that this was very important. Well, that's great. You're given a command by God not to worry about anything. If you're worrying about something, you're not living the spiritual life. That's not what God has for you. You're not to worry about anything. He gives you food to eat. I look at you. He's given some of you a lot of food to eat. He gives you clothes to wear. Nobody came in wearing a barrel. And if you don't have clothes, you can come in a barrel. Now, I've been saying that for 45 years. Nobody's done it yet. If anybody does, it'll be Chris Jones. But what you wear doesn't mean a diddle. I don't care what you wear. Hopefully you wear something. If you don't wear something, you'll never even make it in the door. But who gives you the clothes? Who gives you the food? How did you get here? Transportation. All of that's logistical grace. That's just logistical grace. That's not greater grace blessing. That's just the Lord blessing you, keeping you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Why? He's tapping His foot, waiting for you to grow up. Grow up from a spiritual baby to adolescence to spiritual maturity. Because once you reach spiritual maturity, then He can pour greater grace blessings on you. And God has a plan for you, has a perfect job for you. I didn't know what God's job was for me. I was a believer in Jesus Christ, and I didn't know. I was a baby believer when I was at Washington State University. I went there with a total baby believer. I knew nothing except I was saved. That's all I knew. And every time I come home, my dad would say, "Well, what are you gonna be? What are you gonna do?" I said, "Dad, I don't know." "What?" It really pissed him off every time. "What?" In fact, he'd have a pipe in his mouth and he'd bite down and he broke his pipe. I had to buy him several new pipes. I said, I don't know. I said, but I know, Dad, God will show me. He just hasn't shown me what I'm supposed to do." "You're in college, for God's sake." I said, "Yes. I'm glad you brought God into it. I'm in college." He said, "What are you majoring in?" "English." "What in the hell can you do with English?" I said, "That's a good question." "Teach? I don't know. I just don't know, Dad. God will show me." 1 year went by, God didn't show me. 2 years went by, God didn't show me. But he did lead me to a Bible teaching church that was fantastic. Randy mentioned Ron Breckel, Pastor Breckel, Bethany Bible Church in Pullman, Washington. And most of you don't know, you didn't know Ron. Ron is in heaven now. You weren't aware of the most amazing spiritual revival ever in the state of Washington, and it occurred at Washington State University. Absolutely phenomenal spiritual revival. And it was all college kids. There's only 5 people that live in the town of Pullman. No, just kidding. Filled up with college kids. And I was at a Bible conference with Colonel Thieme, and he took me aside and said, "Dick, I want you to go back and tell Ron Breckel he's doing the best job of any pastor in this nation. Any pastor." I said, "Oh, yes, sir, I will definitely do that." And yes, sir, I totally concur. And so I went back and told him. I took him out to a real fancy dinner in Lewiston. Spaghetti dinner. You know? And I said, "Ron, Pastor Thieme wanted me to pass on a message to you. He said, you're doing the best job of any pastor in this nation." That was so much fun to tell him that. And I mean, he was just all the buttons on his shirt popped off. But he was. And that congregation was filled with college kids. And many of them had the gift of pastor-teacher and went on to seminary. They went on to teach in local churches all over this nation. Some went on to become missionaries in all parts of the world. Some had the gift of evangelism. But that entire Washington State University campus was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. Everywhere. I've never seen anything like it. Christianity was viewed as wonderful, magnificent, in the classrooms on campus. You could talk about Jesus Christ. Jim Sweeney, the football coach, had us come and speak to his whole football team and give the gospel of Jesus Christ to his football team. We were invited into fraternities to speak about Jesus Christ and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was absolutely phenomenal. And I was growing up. He taught classes at least 5 times a week. And I was growing and growing and growing and growing. And even after 2 years, I still didn't know what I was supposed to do. And I'd go home and Dad would say, "Well, do you know what you're supposed to do now?" I said, "No, but God will show me." And when it got to my fourth year, God showed me. And he showed me that I had the gift of pastor-teacher, and that's why I was here. And I called Pastor Breckel up on the phone. I says, "Ron, you might think I'm crazy, but I think I have the gift of pastor-teacher." He said, "Dick, I know you have the gift of pastor-teacher, but I can't tell you that. Only God can tell you that." And I explained what happened that day. He says, "Come over right now. We'll apply to Dallas Theological Seminary." We did. Well, the rest is history. Now, I knew what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to teach God's Word. That's why I'm here. And there's nothing. When you're doing what God put you here to do, it's phenomenal. I wouldn't want to do anything else except study and teach God's Word. Now, I knew that. But when I was at Dallas Seminary, I wasn't prepared for the ministry. I hadn't been promoted by God and given a flock of His sheep yet. And so God had logistical grace, blessing. He had jobs for me. I wasn't high-paying jobs. They were minimum wage, and they should have been. They were minimum wage jobs. I buttered buns at Roy Rogers. I washed dishes at Bertha's. It was minimum wage. And I did my job as unto the Lord. It was logistical grace. I thought it was fantastic. No, it wasn't a lot of money, but it was some money so that I could pay for all of the cards I was sending Debbie all the time. I sent her a card every day. Every day. What was in the card? "None of your business." I sent her a card every day. We were 1,000 miles apart. But she got to know me through my soul, and I got to know her through her soul. And the only way I could afford to send a card every day, I had to get a job. So I washed dishes. I buttered buns at Roy Rogers. I was a janitor at Salad Master and dumped the garbage. I didn't mind it. I never felt like it was beneath me. I didn't see it. I was overqualified. I saw it as God's grace. And it was God's grace. I knew what I'm supposed to do. And eventually God would give me a flock of His sheep so I could feed His sheep. Now, God will give you logistical grace to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can advance to spiritual maturity. And when you do, now you're qualified for greater grace. Greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity. So 7. He knew that God was the source of all of these magnificent blessings. 8. Abraham had true thanksgiving and appreciation of the source of all these blessings, the living and true God. Abraham had true thanksgiving and appreciation of the source of all of these blessings, the living and true God. Well, that's our great parenthesis, Romans 4:17-21. Now we go to verse 22, which will be next week, which will pick up from verse 16. And the rest of chapter 4 will go back to salvation. Abraham is the pattern of salvation. Now, let me tell you before we close in prayer. Classes this week again, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're going to be doing a lot of stuff here the rest of the week. Next Sunday, Bible class, first class, communion, the second class, movie after communion. Bible class, communion, movie after communion. All right? Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.